What's going on, you guys? We're back for another episode, another episode of the Strain 4 podcast. Today's guest, his name is Brandon Fuchs. He is a contractor. He's located in Canada. We met through Instagram, and we've been talking back and forth for a while now just about, I mean, all things self-development and just educating people and wanting to help others grow. He is in the contracting world. I'm in the fitness world. And you guys might be like, okay, how the heck does that even align? And we're going to get into that. He's going to tell you guys all about it. But I'm super excited to have him on. He's been through the ringer in the contracting world. He's been very successful. He's learned a ton. He's going to drop a bunch of knowledge for you guys. So without further ado, man, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are.
Thanks, Kyle. That was a great intro. Yeah, I've been a general contractor for nearly two decades. And I came across your content through Instagram. I don't know if I think I slid into your DMs. That's probably my style. I probably slid into your DMs, which is odd because you're a guy and I'm definitely into girls. So there were some synergies with your energy that you were doing within your content. And I really enjoyed watching that. You can really tell a lot about just from micro things within people. And I learned a lot. I recognized a lot of good characteristics with you. And so that's primarily why I reached out. Additionally, the reason I reached out was obviously because I really feel that fitness is critical to life in construction. It's a wildly challenging space. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of frustration, sadness, and the cleanest place to go to clear all of that shit essentially is to the gym, and or in some cases just in some form of physical fitness. Like prior to this call, I've been doing a walking challenge just because it's really hard for me to get to the gym right now with my kids' activities and whatnot, and so I'm on day 114 of walking for 5k every day. So I'm in Canada as well, and for a lot of you that probably think that I live in an igloo, that's the common, you know, everyone thinks we live in igloos here, and we do. In about a month, it is an igloo in about a month. And so I actually started the challenge excited about what that adversity would look like in the winter. And so I'm most looking forward to those days that are ahead. So that's what I'm doing.
Those are gonna be some challenging days for sure.
Yeah. It gets frigid here. Like, yeah, how cool. minus 40 Celsius.
What is that Fahrenheit? Is that colder Fahrenheit? Would that be like negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit, or would it be a little less?
Let's just do a little conversion here.
That sounds awful.
We'll do a real time conversion here. I don't know what this is here. Celsius to Fahrenheit. It is freaking cold. So minus 40. It's not like on average. Like it'd be on average minus 20. So on average, that'd be 68 Fahrenheit.
Negative 68?
I would assume, yeah. That's what it would be. Oh, no, wait. Let me go here. Let's do minus 20. Minus 4 Fahrenheit.
Okay, so minus 40. Okay. Dude, is...
And then the coldest would be, so minus 40. There's a point where Celsius and Fahrenheit cancel themselves out.
Oh, and really?
So, yeah. It'd be really cold. So whatever the coldest temperature that you can think of that you've been in, it's colder than that, probably.
And you're going to be walking in it, man. That takes
a... Yeah. For an hour.
That takes a lot, bro.
I used to work outside as a contractor. So when I started in my industry, I went into industrial carpentry. And so I worked in a lot of gas plants doing forms and that kind of stuff. And we worked outside all day. Like I would work outside for 8 hours in minus 30.
Bro, that takes a man. Like that's hard.
I was a boy then, but now I'm a man.
So let's dive into that a little bit, man. Let's dive into your contracting career, because like you said, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of frustration, there's just a lot of up and downs. I mean, and I'm sure that's standard across whatever industry you're in. But because I was in contracting for a little bit, I told you that. Like I worked for a contractor. I thought I wanted to have my own business. I quickly realized, like, this just isn't for me. It's not where my expertise are. It's not where my passion is. I'm just not, I don't want to do it. So why don't you tell us, like, what's that journey been like, dude? What are the ups and downs like?
Well, so when I got into the industry, a lot of people get into construction because they think it's an easy out, you know, like education isn't necessarily for you. And so you take this journey thinking that construction, you're going to make good money and it's a more simplistic lifestyle. And the reality is the wrong mindset to enter into construction. You're doing, like, some of my best clients that provide me with the most respect are the most educated people in the world. Like, they're like billionaire CEOs. Wow. They could never do what I do, ever. And they recognize that. And so they give you a different level of respect. And I think when you enter into construction, it shouldn't be from that mindset, but that's just naturally how it happens. As a young person, you enter into construction, I think it's easy, you can make good money. And then you get there and you're like, oh, okay, like, you know, it's kind of like a party, essentially. Like, everybody's just having fun. They're doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And then the challenge really is like who you're going to align yourself with in that journey, right? Because there are different levels of people in life all over, but there's also different levels of people in construction. And so some of them might have addiction problems. Some of them might have, you know, abuse problems where maybe they're abusing their wives or their spouses. Some of them have suicidal thoughts. You know, they've got massive depression and all kinds of different elements. And so you're surrounded by these people quite often, and you're surrounded by great people. And so you got this mix of people, and you really have no control who's going to be around you. Right. And so those people are kind of, in some cases, influencing a lot of your decision making.
Yeah.
And so that's what I quickly realized. It was like, you know, I've got every type of person surrounding me right now, and all of them are influencing my every move in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And whether you believe it or not, like, people might think that the people that you're surrounded with don't actually influence you that much. It's like, no. If you are walking with five people that all drink every day, you'll probably have a drink at some point. It's inevitable, you know? Yeah. And it doesn't matter who you are. So those are some of the biggest challenges with construction, I find. It, you know, there's the direction, keeping yourself in line, keeping yourself on the right direction. And so I didn't really enjoy working in industrial carpentry. I felt like you make bigger money, you have bigger problems in that space when you're surrounded with more options for people. So yeah. I left. I was unhappy, and I left, and I went on my own. And when I left, I was making good money. Like, I was making really good money. Had a family. You know, all the things were going in the right direction, and you leave with a pot of cash and you think life's good, right? And then you go on your own. I had a couple jobs lined up. Like, I was kind of moodlighting already, building decks and fences on the weekend. So I had a pot of cash, and then I was making extra cash.
Yeah.
And so I'm oblivious to what's about to happen. So I go on my own, and I've got my pride. I'm a man, right? It's a huge pride. And we're broke, literally broke. I made 10% of my income that I made, working as an industrial carpenter, in my first year of business, which, I mean, to some might be great, but like, it was not enough.
Well, yeah. When you go from making that much and now you're dropping to that low, it's like, that's a shock.
Yeah.
Well, and so, okay. Go ahead.
No, and so I can't recall if I was married at the time, or if we were just engaged or where that situation was at, but I was together with someone, and so I was providing for a household, obviously. She didn't really know the full extent of how extreme it was. I didn't disclose any of that. I held a lot of it, and it was yeah, it was a lot. So a lot of sleepless nights. Stressed out, not knowing where my work was coming from was really the biggest problem. And then I started stacking a couple wins, started learning a little bit. This took not like the year, like not 1 year, not 2 years. Like this took 5 years. So I'm glad like this was not like a weekend of like misery. And then, you know, the next day we started getting in the right. It was like 5 years of hell. Like I remember vividly every day waking up at 3 a.m. pacing, stressed out, not knowing what to do on site, potentially not knowing where my next project was coming from. Because as a contractor, you're kind of the guy that has to solve every problem that has never been solved, or has maybe been solved but hasn't been solved on your site.
Right.
And so I was faced with all kinds of new challenges daily that I needed to figure out solutions to, and I didn't have the answers. And I was confused as to why I couldn't solve these problems. And then I also really struggled with the quality. I wanted to deliver a really good quality of work, but I was attracting the opposite client. And so they weren't willing to pay for what I felt the value of my time was. And I also didn't know how to position myself, like in comparison to their expectations. And so there's a lot of things that you don't know getting into construction. You think that you're just going to get into construction, start a business, and, you know, make some cash because you've been making cash before. Well, it's not like that.
Dude.
And so it was shitty, man. It was really shitty. My mental health was a absolute disaster, and somehow, some way I kept going. I've never really had like suicidal thoughts, you know, but it was pretty dark and pretty lonely. And then I started understanding a little bit more about the client and their expectations, and started delivering on exceeding their expectations. And I kind of worked from a reverse perspective. So I would go to what I would envision the final result of their expectations, and I would build backwards from that. What do I have to do to get that, obtain that result?
Nice.
Right. And then as soon as I started doing that, things started clicking and we started stacking some wins. And then you just start stacking wins. It's like going to the gym. The first day you go to the gym or you start working out, it's not a good day. It's not a good day. And the next day it's probably just a little bit better, but it's actually probably worse. Cause you're sore, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go for about a week and you're not so sore anymore, right? And then you go for the next week and the pain isn't the same as it was before that. And then you go, you know, for another month or so, and it just becomes repetition and it becomes normal. It becomes part of your life. You know, this, I was kind of in like 114 days ago, I was in a bit of a slump with my physical fitness. And it's always kind of been a bit of a roller coaster. Like I love going to the gym. I love the feeling you get after consistency at the gym.
Oh yeah.
It's getting to that point where you're getting the consistency, that validation. That's the hardest part. And so I felt like I was so backwards with getting even close to that I was like, this walking thing, this will be like an okay way of getting there.
Right.
Because walking will do quite a bit for you, right?
Oh man, yeah, walking's incredible. And it's so easy to maintain. You know, you can always go for a walk.
That's so easy. You got to do a little, like you can't just go for like, I always, you know, people say you can go for a couple kilometer walk. If you walk for an hour, it will make an impact. If you walk for 30 minutes, it will do a little bit. Like if you're doing something following it, it would do something, but walking for an hour will give you a full value conversion, and doing that with working out is kind of where I'm trying to land. So my plan with this was like, okay, let's get consistency with the walking, and then at some point we're going to hit this confidence level where it's like, okay, I can get back to the gym. I can get back to that validation where, And so that's where I'm at right now, just trying to build out my new routine with that. So I'm looking forward to those days.
Dude, I love that. So let me ask you this. What did you figure out? Let me preface this. So I follow a guy on Instagram and YouTube. You've probably heard of him. His name's Alex Hormozi. Yeah. I've been following a ton of his stuff. People have heard me in all these podcasts talk about him. He's excellent, right? But one of the things he said in his in one of his videos was that what he learned was that a lot of the businesses he got into, it wasn't actually that business that he was in. And he gave the example of like the fitness industry. He's like, I thought starting a gym was just like, or start like selling programs. Like I can write a program better than these guys, so I should get clients. And what he realized is that it was marketing and sales. It's like, how well do you market? How well can you sell? It wasn't the program. It was it was a totally different industry that he was in, but it was under the umbrella of fitness and gym, whatever. Yeah. Did you find that to be the case with contracting? It's like, it's not construction. It is. But it's more than that. It's meeting expectations, like you said. It's actually selling and knowing how to overcome objections. It's getting leads. Like, it's so much more than just, hey, I can build you a great product.
Well, actually, it's funny that you say that. So I've been contemplating writing a book for a while. I've written a book like 3 or 4 times, and then I've thrown it away. And so I'm close to writing a book. And I think I'm even closer than I ever have been. So one of the things that we talk about in our program is your superpower. What is your superpower?
Right.
And every person on this planet has a different skill and ability that they are just a little better at than the rest. And within construction, there are different requirements of service in order for your business to be successful. And the creative thing is that all of those people that are contractors, they don't possess the same skill. They maybe have similarities, but they don't possess the same skill. And so when Alex was talking about, you know, being a marketer in his business, that's true because that's him. That's what he is. He's a marketer. Mm. He's not necessarily a fitness program influencer. He might be able to do that, but his superpower is marketing. If you look at all of his skills and abilities that are wrapped around him, they're about amplifying his superpower. And so what we teach people in our program is to really identify what yours is. And so my superpower is people. I am incredibly gifted, I believe, with conversation with people, with clients, with sales. And so if you put me in that space all the time, I will just get better. I'll get reps at that and I'll just get better and I'll just get better and I'll get better. If you were forcing me to be on site on the tools all the time building something, I would be okay. But I'm not going to be the same as I would be as if I'm doing what I'm really good at. And so what I try to explain to people in our program, what our first pillar of our Builder Accelerator program actually is breaking down what your superpower is. And understanding that, hey, if you suck at communicating, then you're probably not the sales engine for your business.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, I was chatting with I was doing a call yesterday with one of my contractors, and he's a little defeated. He hasn't worked for a month, and he's really good. Like, he's skillful, but he's just not the greatest at communicating. So you have to re-engineer your business to accommodate your superpowers, because otherwise you're going every day to something that is not providing you with the validation you need.
Right. Yeah. You're banging your head against the wall trying to do this thing that, like, it's just a waste of time. Empower someone else to take that part of your business that crushes it, and you crush the thing you can crush.
Exactly. And you'll be better off. Like, if you build a business around what you're skilled at, or what your superpower is, you'll have a better outcome. Your business will be more successful because you're the engine. The CEO or the business owner is the engine. So 80% is doing and 20% is the actual substance of what you've done, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are doing something within your business and it is your greatest strength, your business will be more successful. But if you pull back and waste energy doing things you're not great at, you're like an anchor on your business. So if you're shitty at sales, shitty at communication and that's the primary space that you're trying to plan, your business will fail. Like, yeah. Guaranteed it will fail. And so within construction, I think what's really unique is that every person has a different skill. And helping them identifying it and understanding that they're tanking their own business is really what we're good at. So,
yeah. So what did that process look like for you? You know, when you were going through the dark days, you were trying to figure it out, like trying to make some money, figure out where your work's coming from. You know, you kind of alluded to like the breakthrough moment where you reverse engineered, starting with, you know, clients' expectations and working backwards. But what else, like what else was there that was like a huge breakthrough for you? Or was there one?
Yeah, there was a few, man. And I've experienced a couple of them along the way. And I think that I'm very visual with the timeline of my life. So what is taking place day to day, I understand that it dictates what happens tomorrow. And there's always this left-right scenario where it's like you walk straight, you go left, you get this result. You walk right, you get this result. Right. And so I always backtrack to that right left decision. What did this action look like in the future? What could I have done differently in order to navigate that? And I didn't start doing that till about 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago. I went through a divorce in 2017, like the Christmas of 2017. And I mean, we were together for a long time, like childhood, shouldn't have been together that long. Shouldn't have. And it's just, it is what it is. But
yeah,
this was like the climax of the change of my life. So going through the divorce, I'm crippled, broken for about 3 months. I'm in, you know, this state of denial, thinking that we're going to get back together. Not that we needed to. And doing all this stuff. And then I had two companies at the time. Actually, I had a couple different companies at the time. One of them was a construction company and the other one was a service company. We did garage customization. So at that point, I built a very successful garage customization company that did garage floor coatings and alongside my construction company. And at that point, we had completed 3 million square feet of garages. So a lot of work.
Wow.
And alongside that, doing, you know, multi-million dollar renovations and construction. Dude. A lot of things going on. And so my head's spinning. You know, I have no money fears at this point, right? Everything's great, except for the fact that I'm going through a divorce and I've got two kids and the world's on fire, right? Hmm. I'm outside this client's home having a conversation with my ex-wife and it's frustrating. I'm triggered. I have a really good system. The reason we got successful is I had a really good system of organization and systemizing, you know, communication, et cetera. And so I had a scheduled appointment for a client detailed on what I was doing. I didn't read it. I just walked up to the door and I said, "Hey, I'm here to look at something." I didn't know if I was there to do a renovation or a garage. Because typically they would identify differently in my schedule and I would approach the project from a different perspective. Didn't even take a tape measure in, didn't take anything in, just walked into this person's home. And she was a little startled because she could tell that my energy was off at that point, I think. And so I noticed that their daughter had mobility issues and she was in a walker. And the lady had mentioned that I was there. She reminded me that I was there to do to look at a bathroom renovation. They were trying to build an accessible bathroom. And so, I'm like, "Oh, okay." And it's a concrete slab on grade home with cinder block interior walls. The most abnormal construction home that I've ever been in to date in my life.
I say that sounds really strange.
Very strange. But okay, so you want to convert this bedroom, which is all concrete, into a bathroom, and your plumbing is at the other end of your house.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, like, it's doable, but this bathroom's probably $100K. Like, it's probably $100K. And she's like, "I know. We've had two other contractors already price," and she was very soft, very kind. started getting emotional because she could see that I was just kind of off in the, I feel like she could feel that I was off. And so she really wanted to express the depth of the severity of the problem. And then she had reminded me that the contractor that was supposed to come no-showed her. And I was a shortlist last minute call that I was actually scheduled today, that day. So my admin organized all this without me really knowing. And she's like, yeah, you were the only guy that would come. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, why is that? Well, we explained the situation to your admin and he put it in. And I'm like, oh, okay. Most contractors would have ran. So she had explained that she was looking to do a renovation in a bathroom and they were getting specialty funding from a nonprofit to help them bring this together. Right. And so it was just it's a messy job, right? And so for construction company, they're not into messy jobs. They're just out there to get paid, make money, get paid, and we were never like that. Like we weren't like that. I've always told my team, you've no idea what one conversation will do. So always put me in front of the conversation because we'll see what it will open up. And so she explained her situation, and in that moment, I could see her emotions, I could see the struggles, and the bathroom, honestly, as complex as it was, for me, it was still nothing. It was still very easy to do. Like, the project was nothing. And so I'm thinking in my truck, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm glorifying my complex problem to me, thinking that it's horrific, right? And it's not. We're fine. The family, we're going to be all fine. The kids will be fine. My ex-wife will be fine. I'll be fine. Everything will be fine. And I'm like, in this moment, these people got real problems. This is a real problem. This little girl can't use her bathroom.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, I was like, I'm going to do it for free. I'm just going to take care of this bathroom. And so what I did was, I suggested to her, you know what, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the, you know, we'll help you bring it together. I'll get you the quote today. She's like, you need the quote today because we gotta get the nonprofit to accept, and then we got to get it to our bank because we're remortgaging our house and we're going to cash in our pension. And so we should have the funds. We think we can get $87,000. And I'm like, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. I didn't tell her that I was going to do it for free. I called her OT. Which is the person that basically helps facilitate the movements for their daughter in the space. And I said, I think I'm going to do this project for free. I need the names of the other contractors that were quoting this job to give them a call because I don't want to scoop in and like sniper this thing from them, right? Called them, said, hey, I'm going to do this job for free. If you guys want to partner up, by all means, I'm down. I'll help you get all the contractors. We'll share like some of the demo and stuff. And they called me a couple hours later, and in the meantime, I called every designer, every supplier, every plumber, every electrician sitting outside her house and said, hey, I'm going to do this job for free. Are you guys down? Yeah, we're all down. So by the time they called me back, I had everything already lined up. And the crazy part is we didn't do the bathroom. We did the whole house.
No way.
Yeah, furnished it and everything. Inside out, landscaped it. It just exploded. We had the whole community. It was like is that Tasmanian devil, the guy that like rolls down the hill with the snowball, yeah. Right? Started as just a little snowball and then it just blew up. And so alongside this, I'm doing still all these different construction projects and all this different stuff. And in that moment, I realized that my superpower in that moment was people. I understood what the expectation was from somebody else and what delivery mechanism was required to flower that flower, so to speak, with all the contractors, with the client, with everyone. And so I just kept doing it. It was like, oh, we need a plumber? Okay. Hey, would you be interested in working with us on this project? We need about a $30,000 gifted service. Silence. And then I'll come take a look at it. And then they'd come. Yeah, we're in. And it wasn't hard, because the thing is, businesses have budget to market. And if they can use their budget to do something great for their community and get visibility, it's easy. It's easy. Yeah. And the cool part is, this family got a new home. And so when we walked them through, it was like, so it took us 6 months, reactive. Okay. So I looked at the job. A month later, I blew the house up while I'm still running all my other businesses. And we're doing it all as nonprofit. There was 20, I think there was 8 board members at the beginning, grew to about 20 by the end. Then we did it again, year 2, grew to about 60 people. We blew up another house. But the point is, when we did the reveal for this house, we had 2 buses. We had them deckled up. All of a sudden, it started snowing. Like magical mountain snowflakes. They were the biggest snowflakes I've ever seen in my life. I had to literally take my truck. It was on a very busy street. I took my truck, got the other guy, because we had registered for the police to close the street down, and they weren't there. So I just used my truck to close the street down to do this big grand reveal. There was hundreds of people on the street. It was crazy. And that was the moment that I learned about my superpower. And it was like the most uplifting moment of my life. And then COVID came after our second year and shut us down. We had, at that point, grew to almost 60 community board members. So our nonprofit had grown to almost 60 people. We were in the position to blow up like 3 or 4 houses a year. Jeez, for free. Yeah. And not getting paid. I was not getting paid. I was still running my business, which was fueling me, and it was unsustainable. So COVID saved us in a way. And then my construction company just started growing. I really liked the feeling that I had through that entire process, and I wanted to do it everywhere.
Right.
And so that was my plan, was to grow my company globally, everywhere. Put it everywhere. Let's do it everywhere, and I can do what we did with the nonprofit everywhere. And then in about January of last year, after thousands of dollars of invested time and energy, I decided that the risk of taking on the liability of other people, because I would have had to have other people running a business with my name on it in their respective city, was not worth it for me. Mm. I had a couple red flags along the way, and I was like, you know what? I've done enough shit that I don't need to take on any more punishment mentally.
Right.
And I ignored America through this whole process. Like, I wasn't like, oh, we're going to start doing the same thing in America. But a couple Americans reached out and they're like, hey, could you help us with our construction company? Could you help us set up our company? And then from there, it was like, I mean, yeah, like, you're not in competition with me. You never would be. So I'll just tell you how to be successful, and I'll just write it out for you. And so that's what I started doing. And awesome. In January, we started the digital coaching program for contractors to help them educate themselves on understanding their superpower, building a winning strategy that basically like ties them so deeply into their community that they don't even need to market themselves. And then we help them implement that. So that's where we're at right now.
Oh, dude, that's so awesome.
That was helpful.
That's a crazy story, man.
Yeah.
This
is where all the books come from.
That takes a lot to do that, man. I mean, I'm sure there was, well, I don't want to assume. I'm guessing, though, that there was probably a lot of fear there, you know, in doing that.
When I didn't have a plumber, I already ripped the lady's house apart, and I had no money.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You're like, oh, I got to figure this out now.
Yeah. Like, that's what it was like the whole time. Even on our second project, our second project was $1.5 million. We put an elevator in the home and we did 2 additions on it. It was huge.
Wow. That's massive.
Yeah, no money. Just straight, like, here's the job. Are you cool to do this? Yeah, okay. And just keep pressing forward. But, like, the jobs got big. The ask was huge. But the reward was incredible. So,
That's so cool,
it was
man.
Wild, man.
And you did, let me, I want to make sure I understand this. You did that, you know, these one-off nonprofit projects alongside your other paid projects. Is that correct?
Yeah, it wasn't one job either. Like, we did multiple things within our community. So we did a movie night in the park. So we built a huge Jumbotron, full HD, like Jumbotron in a park, and watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Cool. It was super cool, man. It was
awesome.
And so we did that. We did these little events throughout our city alongside, yes, my other companies.
Yeah,
that I was getting paid for. So we figured it out, and I invested almost $300,000 worth of hours every year. If I were to evaluate my time, it was $300K into that. And so my companies were actually failing because I was so invested in these nonprofits.
Wow. And so now you've got this Builder Accelerator program where you help other builders implement, you said, a winning strategy into their business. They can go from, you know, where you started, where you're like pacing at 3 a.m. It's okay, now we're actually making some money. We're stacking some wins. We're utilizing our superpowers where we need to. So what is that? So like, let's walk through that a little bit. Like, let's say I'm a contractor and I come to you. I'm like, hey, help me. Like, I'm not making any money.
I mean, here's the reality. If you're trying to do something, it's faster for you to do it alongside somebody that's already done it. Every time. And this is something I didn't know. I never had a coach in my life. I never had a mentor. Like, I grew up without a father. So my mentors, my male mentors, were my grandfather, my uncles, and I had a big brother. And the difference is they're not a father. They're not an authority of like, don't do this, do this. And so as a father now, I see that difference. And so what I've learned is, for me, it is more rewarding to see somebody win from something I taught them than for me to do it myself.
Yeah.
And so I get this incredible validation that is subject just to me. And so, you know, one of the instances, one of our contractors that's been working with me for a couple months, and I've got lots of stories like this. If you run through our program, you can see we have wins every day, but this one specifically really stuck with me because for years, this guy's been a contractor for about 7 to 8 years. So he's been in the pain longer than I was before I got it. And he's like, man, I've just never been able to win a job over 300K. It's always like basements, bathrooms, small little projects, a garage, but never getting these big jobs. Like, how do you get the big job? And I was like, it's positioning, man. Clients want you to trust. They want to trust you. And you're not positioning yourself with a lot of validation that they can trust you.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks of working with me, this guy secured his first 300K project.
That's awesome.
And the crazy part was, he's texted me before. He's like, hey, wish me luck. I'm going to drop this quote off. And texted me later. He's like, I just walked out with a $10,000 deposit for this project. I can't believe this. This is just wild. And there's two things here that are really crazy to understand. These are life lessons that he will carry for the rest of his life. Right there, that moment is like, you've opened a door. You're in a new place. Okay, and the next part is you have somebody that's supporting you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I know that my son gets incredible validation when I'm cheering him on. For sure he does, I would assume. And to know, like, if I'm putting myself in the shoes of the contractor that I'm working with, to know that he's getting that same experience is just wildly, wildly exciting. Like, I can't explain what that moment felt for me, like, but it was very similar to the moment where I recognized my superpower. And I was like, shit, this is my next superpower.
That's so cool.
Yeah, man. And so yesterday I had a discovery call with a 50-year-old contractor from California. And he's currently managing multi-million dollar projects for his current employer. And his employer asked him to come work for him. But he's been doing side projects all over. And he's like, I'm just about ready. I think I'm almost ready. And I was like, dude, you're ready. Like, you're already doing the work. You're just not getting paid. Like, right. Why are you doing this to yourself? And you've got a family. And you're gonna have a granddaughter on the way. I'm like, what's your plan? You got 15 years left. What are you going to do? And he's like, shit, I never thought of that. I was like, so you're literally taking a lifestyle away from your family and you're giving it to the other guy that you're doing the work for. I was like, it's the day is today. Yeah. This is when you need to make that decision. And so by the end of that call, he's on board. So he's coming into the community. We're going to get him going in the right direction. But sometimes people need that. They need that support and that reassurance that somebody's got their back. And that's what I love doing, man.
Yeah, I find that that's the biggest thing, even in my industry in fitness. Sorry, I keep looking down and looking at the audio. That's the biggest thing I find in my industry too, man, is people, like, programs will vary from person to person, and there's definitely a tier to it. There are people who can write better
programs. Your rooster in the back.
Yeah, the rooster's going off right now. Sorry if you guys can hear that.
That's part of the brand, man. The rooster. That's, keep that.
At this point, it really is. I'm just using it. He's talking, but I find that a lot of people, you want to have a good program and it does matter and there's science behind it and there's things. But at the end of the day, if you're getting people moving and active and lifting weights and doing things, like, they're gonna get fit if they do it. What people want is what you're talking about. It's like, they want to know someone believes in them. They want to know someone's going to hold them accountable, because for whatever reason, they don't believe it about themselves. They have this story in their head. Man, I just can't be consistent. Man, I just can't seem to stay on it. I can't seem to do whatever. It's like, for whatever reason, it could be 1,000 different reasons. They need someone that's like, yes, you can. Today's the day. Let's get to work. And when they have that, dude, they literally become a different person. Their brain changes. And when they stay on it, like, I have a 4-month program, like, they go through it for 4 months. At the end of the 4 months, they're like, dude, I feel weird not going to the gym. Like, I'm a totally different person now. I've just been consistent for 4 months. I've stacked these wins. Like, I know what it looks like now. And I'm imagining it's the exact same for you with these people who are just got to change their beliefs.
Yeah. You have to shift your mindset for sure. Like, you have to adjust what is grounding you. Like, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't even watch TV, to be honest. Like, I try to explain to people, we have these three words: elevate, dominate, and thrive. And constantly, even this morning I was listening to a podcast, and my mindset forever will be in this other space, right? If you can live up there, you will dominate. And then if you can surround yourself with like-minded people along inside that space, I think programs are critical. Like, I think whether it's physical fitness, whether it's mental fitness, whatever you might have to do to get yourself in a position where you're elevated, other things start happening that you can't even understand until you're up there. And it's hard to explain because for everybody, it's different, right? Whatever starts happening at that point is completely different for each other. But I do believe that physical fitness is I'm not going to say easy, because it's my biggest struggle, but I feel like it's the easiest thing that you can incorporate into any lifestyle to help you elevate yourself. And, that's why we've got you with us as well, because when we're ready to start bringing that together, the purpose truly is like, man, go for a walk. You go for a walk every day. Contractors' complaints are, well, we're on site, we're already working, we're already doing this. And it's like, well, you're not, though, because you're not doing it consistently for long enough. You're getting blimps of it. And a blimp of doing something for 5 or 10 minutes here and there is not improving anything. Like, it's doing a little bit, but it's not doing enough. So, I think that it's life-changing when you can incorporate stuff like that in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And obviously I'm biased and I'm in the fitness industry, but I love it so much because I've seen it in my own life, man. Like, my day changes when I work out. Like, we did a podcast yesterday with a guy and we were talking about I've felt this recently in McConaughey, Matthew McConaughey. He talked about it, and I've recently felt it and been like, okay, now I understand what he was saying. He said that he would, you know, with his problems, his tasks, his to-do lists, whatever, throughout the day, they'd feel like they're stacked vertically on top of him, they're crushing him. Mm-hmm. And he would say, man, when he would go work out, whatever it was, when he'd get done, it felt like they were stacked laterally out in front of him. Mm-hmm. So no longer that pressure and that stress on top of him. It was like somehow it self-organized and it was like, okay, I got to do this next. Then I do this next. Then I do this next. And everything just felt better. But it came from like taking care of yourself first, getting that dopamine rush, the serotonin, like all the stuff that you need, blood flow, oxygen to your brain, relieve a little stress. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to crush this thing. And, you know, obviously I want people to do it and sure, come by my program and stuff. But at the end of the day, just like, just do something because you're going to feel better.
Right. I think that it's, I think a lot of people struggle with the translation from where they currently are to where they dream they would be. You know, like social media is polluted right now. Like it's filled with fancy, pretty people. And it's this perception of a reality. And what people need to understand is that those people that are living those fancy, pretty lives are probably, in some cases, absolutely miserable in some way, shape, or form. And so never, ever assume that what they have is better than what you have. I think what people need to understand is that if you just start in one direction and you implement one thing at a time, it's much more manageable than assuming that, you know, I just bought skates today, right? Tomorrow I'm going to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
You know,
all right, like, slow down.
Like, but that's what people want. Like, those are the results they want right away. And it's just, it doesn't work like that. You have to be comfortable with small steps and you have to celebrate them because you really need to understand, like, if you don't validate yourself with the successes of your efforts, then man, they're just not going to be worth it. Like, if nobody else is cheering you on, if you're not cheering yourself on, then it's a dark road. Yeah. Like alone. So it doesn't matter what people say. There's noise all around you all the time. Right. And a lot of times it's your own noise. And so just picking yourself up and doing something, any program, something I've gone through some programs now in my lifetime, in this later part of my life. And I'm already positioning the next programs. Like I've got some big, big strategies with what we're trying to do. And my future mentors are right now on a short list. And I mean, they're significant people. And so I think you have to understand that just start. I started small. And then I started climbing the ladder and understanding, okay, the next step is right there. I'm going to go try and get that. So I think that you've got a really accessible program too that a lot of people need to take advantage of and implement even in small doses. If they just got to implement it in small doses to start, I think that's the game changer.
That's it, man. Yeah, I have this thing that's been a revelation for me this year, and about like, you know, you almost, I think I made a post about it. You might have saw it, but about like, you don't want things to happen fast. I mean, we want it to like, you buy the skates, I want to be in the NHL tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you really don't, because the more time there is between where you're at and the success you have, mm-hmm. are so many more opportunities for you to like vote on who it is you actually want to be. Because like, if you just go from where you're at to success tomorrow, you didn't really grow. Like literally tomorrow, if you didn't grow as a person, you got this overnight success, it's not sustainable because you didn't learn the skills, you didn't learn discipline, you didn't learn how to like overcome adversity, how to have some grit, all these things, you didn't learn anything. Mm-hmm. But the longer it takes and the more you stick with it and you overcome these hard things, you become that person, even though you want this outcome and success, and then it gets here and you're like, huh, now I feel like I could do this again if I had to, and a lot quicker. Now you have it for life. You're there for, right. You'll never be unsuccessful again because you've developed all those skills. Like you're set. You just got to go through the shit period.
It's kind of like when I was talking earlier about that, the door situation where you go left, right. This actually translates really into like what the journey in a maze is like, right? You start at go excited because you're envisioning you exiting this maze, and you journey through the maze and you land at a roadblock. And the longer you're in the space, the more frustrated you get because you're still envisioning the end of this spot. And this actually is triggering another thought that I'm going to mention as well. But the journey definitely has to exist, right? You have to go through this maze to get to the end. Cool part is once you've done it, you can do it again. And you can do it again. And you can do it again. And that's what a coach really ultimately is. It's somebody to say, hey, this is the way we go through the maze. We're going to teach you along the way. I hit this roadblock here. You want to avoid this. We're going to come this way, and this is why. And this continuation of this journey is really ultimately what involving somebody like you or me into somebody's life really ultimately could do for them. I was the journey of obviously building a coaching company from building a multi-million dollar construction company can be very similar to the first journey that I experienced in my life, right? Because I'm now in a new space. And so I've got the demons talking to me saying, are you really like as good as you think you are? Like, can you really do what you think you're going to be doing? Right. Even though you've had all this validation, right? And so I'm in Calgary visiting my girlfriend, and there's this park called Heritage Park. It's beautiful, beautiful man-made natural park, huge walking path. So my walk there is set for 12 kilometers, which is, I don't know how many miles, my apologies, but it's far.
That's about 7 or 8 miles, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So that's my short distance. And I knew where that ended. Today I decided I'm going to go as far as I can. I'm going to go as far as I can. I got lots of time. So I went 20 kilometers.
Let's go.
And I was like, this is getting boring. Like, because you map on your watch, you know that I'm going 10. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start turning back. Like, I got to walk back. So, because it's not like a loop. It's the walk there, walk back.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the maze situation. And I'm walking down this path. And for anybody who's not been to Calgary, it's one of the most beautiful places in Canada. It's right close to Banff National Park. We've got like crystal clear blue emerald water from the mountain runoff. Like, it is breathtaking. Amazing. This is breathtaking, right? And so I'm on this path, which is river and a big lake. And I'm now in this gross part. Bugs are hitting me. It's just shitty. And I was like, this sucks. Like, my feet are starting to hurt. I'm 10 kilometers in. Like, let's just turn back. We'll call it a day. Maybe I wasn't 10. I might have been 8. I don't really know the exact number, but it was the furthest I've gone to date. And I get to the end of where I'm believing I'm going to turn around, because my mind is starting to tell me, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. No, go a little bit further. Go a little bit further. And it was kind of like I got to this point, and I'm not an overly religious person, but I really believe that there are other people that are helping you guide yourself through some things. And, you know, and so it was like, holy shit, I got to the end of this walk. And I was faced with a bridge and the most beautiful stream that I've ever seen. And it was like magical trees, birds were there. The sun finally came out. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is the nicest place I've been to in the past 10 years of my life.
Wow.
And I got there through the most pain and misery. And it's hard for you to see what the end of the maze will look like until you get there. And I sat there I was like almost in tears, like emotionally. It was unbelievable. And I got there and I was like, okay, so no matter how big the battle might be, just keep going, just keep going. And that's what was continuing for me, was to just keep going. And I got to this point where it was absolutely magical. And so the purpose of all this is to understand that, A, you want to walk with somebody that's been where you're trying to go. because it's very valuable. I will do this for the rest of my life. I will have a coach in my life for the rest of my life, right till the day I die. And you want to believe in whatever it is that you're doing enough that you will have this incredible moment at some point. You don't know when it's going to happen, but just keep going until you get there. Believe that it's going to exist and believe that it's going to happen.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a, you out here preaching, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It was a wild experience, man. And I think that that's what the journey needs to be like for a lot of people. So
yeah,
pump people up.
Well, that's awesome, man. Dude, you're doing a lot of great work and you're helping people overcome themselves and make some more money and have some success and do all the things. So it's really cool, man. I'm glad we're getting the team up and do this thing. It's exciting.
Yeah, man. I appreciate everything you're doing for you know, people. Your motivating them. I love that. I love when your boy's out there with you, you know, doing his thing. I think it shows his creative side, and he's gonna look back and watch that stuff and tell you to pull it all down when he's 16.
Yeah,
because my son did that to me. But I mean, have fun with that right now, because being a father is life shaping. So keep doing your thing.
I appreciate that, man. Where can people find you on social media? What's your Instagram handle?
You can hit me up at @_contractorcoach. And we're actually just starting a bit of a YouTube thing as well. So you'll have to look for me up on YouTube as well. But best place to find me is @_contractorcoach. Drop into my DMs. It will be me responding to you. So if you want to hit me up and chat about leveling up your construction business anywhere throughout Canada and the United States, I got your back for life.
Awesome, man. Heck yeah. Well, you guys, if you're in the contracting space and you happen to be listening to this, hit him up, ask questions. You can hit me up and ask questions if you have anything at all. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for watching on YouTube. If you watch on YouTube, you guys are great. We love you. And as always, just keep moving forward.
Appreciate it.